well, this is it. You know, you can reach a lot of people, and working with Michael so far has been great because he's reached out to a lot of good people like yourself and getting a lot of good reviews from people, so it's really positive. I'm really pretty excited about that, actually. So, but yeah, family changes things a little bit, you know, with my daughter at home and stuff. She starts school in September, so... But, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, I'm always interested to go out there. I mean, we had to travel to record the new album.
Each Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
From Eastern Ontario, Canada, the incredible Corey M. Coons has been performing, writing, and recording music since about the age of 13. His latest record, The Long Road Home, was produced by Ron Nevison, the producer of Heart, Bad Company, Damn Yankees, Survivor, Styx, Night Ranger. Here's the conversation with Corey M. Coons, already in progress. I have listened to your music, and you really write from the heart. You seem like a very personable guy. You could read bios all day long, but if you read what somebody writes or how they sing it, it just means so much more. Am I on the right track?
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head. I really, you know, like to write from an emotional sort of standpoint. And always like to tell good stories, too, at the same time. So, yeah.
Do you have a song called Eyes of Blue?
Well, that's my daughter. We did that video and song for my daughter when she turned 2. We gave that to her as a present, my video that I did for her, and she's now 4. So that song was written basically kind of inspired for her, or by her, I guess you would say.
Overflowing peace and harmony. and your eyes are blue. With your eyes are blue.
Do you just sit down and write just quickly, or do you ponder?
It depends. Depends on the song. I have songs that I've had sort of sitting over years and then kind of came back to different ideas and sort of melted ideas together, and then some songs kind of come really quickly if it's a really good melody that comes to me fast, and might kind of come, the whole sort of outline of the song might kind of pretty much be there within a couple days or something, you know?
The song Long Road kind of seems to be your theme song to me.
Yeah, that's sort of the title, I guess, or lead-off track on the new record.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great song.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Just the intro hooks you right in there. You got to have that.
Well, a lot of the stuff that you're hearing, the lead stuff, too, is my friend Mark Muir. He's from Cornwall, Ontario, so he was a big part of the project, too. So all of the melody, like the lead sort of stuff that you hear, lead guitar playing, is stuff that he's added as well. But as far as the actual skeleton and the outline of the song and the arrangement and the progressions and all that, that's pretty much myself.
Tattered and bruised, nowhere to land.
Long road of sleepless nights, better hold on tight to the steering wheel. Running down a dead man's dream, got me torn at the seams. Got nowhere to land. Nowhere to land. Got nowhere to land. Nowhere to
pretty cool. Remember Me, another ballad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty personal one. That's about my mom and dad who both passed on now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was my tribute to them. So some of the stuff, like you said, I'm in the last, I guess, 5 to 6 years, I've got some personal stuff in there and some stuff that's happened. My dad passed away about 7 or 8 years ago now, and my mom's been about, I guess it'll be 18 years for her in October. So they were a very big part of my life, obviously, and wouldn't be where I am without those two. So,
remember me with the autumn leaves. I can see your face that smile like a beauty queen. It's a mystery, sometimes hard to believe, why some things just won't ever be the same. Well, they say time is a healer, and the hand that holds our fate in the blink of an eye. Destiny calls, they say. Charmed in grace, like the wisest sage, I can hear your voice, I can feel you speak my name. It's a mystery, it's still so hard to believe, all those memories just can't ever be replaced. Well, they say time is a healer, and the hand that holds our fate in the blink of an eye. When destiny calls, they say. It's a mystery, sometimes hard to believe, why
why some things just won't ever be the same. Well, they say time is a healer, and the hand that holds our fate. In the blink of an eye, we're left hanging on the edge of broken dreams. You can't turn back the time, you can't erase the pain. You can only face new days. That's when destiny calls, they say. That's when destiny calls, they say. Remember me with the autumn leaves.
On a cheery note, how many guitars do you own?
Well, I have currently 3 electric guitars. I have 2 Telecasters and an Epiphone Les Paul. And then I also have 2 acoustic guitars, 3 actually. I have a 12-string. It's an old 1981 Ovation Balladeer 12-string. And then I have 2 6-strings. I have a Washburn Jumbo, and then I have an Epiphone Jumbo-style acoustic as well.
So I think.
And then I have a bass guitar, because I started as a bass player many years ago. I started playing bass, so.
So that's like 9 guitars and a bass?
7 or 8 for sure. Yeah. And then a mandolin, kind of once in a while, just sort of pick away at that, but I haven't been doing too much of that.
You just can't get enough of those things, you know?
Yeah.
Why did you switch from bass to guitar?
Well, I always played guitar. When I started as a bass player, I played in bands, and we played a lot of cover stuff, and so I always played bass as far as live, but then I always had an acoustic alongside the whole time, and I always liked to write and come up with little ideas. Like even way back when I was 13 or 14 years old, I would start just to write little ideas and record them on a tape recorder and just keep them, you know. You keep them over the years, and you never know when you might look back and hear something that's like, oh man, that was kind of neat, even for the time, you know.
I guess it's kind of hard to entertain at a party with a bass guitar, you know. It's like,
it's a little trickier to write stuff. I mean, you can come up with your own bass lines and stuff for songs, but it's kind of hard to write a melody for a song, you know.
I bet Paul McCartney can do it.
I'm sure he can.
It's just a wild guess there, I don't know. Who were your influences?
I guess a lot of the stuff I grew up with was in the 80s, like high school in the 80s for me. So a lot of that 70s, 80s melodic rock, you know, anything from Bon Jovi and Styx. And I love, like, melodic stuff. REO Speedwagons kind of got some stuff like, you know, I guess a feel of those guys in there somewhere. All kinds of things, going back to, like, even the Beach Boys or Elvis stuff way, way back.
Yeah.
And then as I grew older, got into some of the country rock, like Keith Urban and some of that stuff, and the roots rock. I love Tom Petty, John Mellencamp, all that kind of stuff. So,
all guys that are good writing good pop songs.
Yeah, pop rock or roots rock songs, a lot of those guys too, yeah.
Yeah. What was the first concert you went to?
That would have been the Beach Boys.
Oh, really?
In the 80s at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa. That's the football stadium. It would have been the Beach Boys. And then, oddly enough, I just took my 4-year-old daughter and my wife came to the Beach Boys again, just not far from where I live here, to see them again. So
who's in it? Mike Love? Mike Love's still in it, I think. Al Jardine.
It's Mike Love and Bruce Johnson, I guess, kind of the...
Okay.
Mike's an original, and then Bruce is a semi-original. And
yeah.
But they did do a tour, I guess, for the 50th anniversary of the band, though, and they had... 4 of the originals in the lineup, or 5 out of the originals, because 2 of them are passed on, so.
Oh, yeah. The unlikely ones, too. You would have thought Brian Wilson would have been the first of the brothers to go, but he's the survivor. That's funny.
Yeah, he's been through a lot.
I know, he's still going. But, yeah, wow, what a writer, though. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd love to see him live, and he's coming to Ottawa here near me, too, so I wouldn't mind seeing him in November if I get the chance, because it's the last final Pet Sounds, I guess, tour they're doing or something.
Oh, well, you see a lot of final tours and a lot of retirement people that they never actually retire. It's never actually the, I don't know how many times did Cher retire, but I think
the farewell tour for 20 years.
Yeah, that's what Elton John's doing. Yeah, and he just flat out says, I don't know when it's going to be over with, but this is the farewell tour. So I suppose he can do anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
Where are you playing currently? Do you have a pretty busy schedule?
I'm pretty busy locally here, actually, in August. I've got a show this afternoon at 4:30. I have to go to Brockville, Ontario, which is about 45 minutes drive from my home here. It's another Seaway, St. Lawrence Seaway River City right on the border of New York State. So it's a rib fest we're playing, and there's all kinds of entertainment all weekend. So I'm there at 4:30 till 6 today with my group. So it'll be a good show, hopefully. Hopefully a good turnout today. The weather's looking pretty nice, so.
Do you travel much?
Just mostly locally right now. Haven't really thought about touring too much at the moment. I'd like to do that again sometime. People have asked me that actually quite a bit. I'd love to again. The only times I've toured were in the late 90s. I guess mid and late 90s I've toured with bands, but they were cover bands, so I didn't really get the opportunity to get out and push my own stuff. You know, I've been recording my own stuff now since, I guess, 2004, when my first solo one came out. But just focused on the local scene, and, you know, did some excursions into New York State and stuff like that, and all over Ontario, but
you're doing
not really a tour, you know?
You're doing the safe thing, though. You're a family man, and you have the internet.
Well, this is it, you know. You can reach a lot of people, and working with Michael so far has been great, because he's reached out to a lot of good people like yourself, and getting a lot of good reviews from people, so it's really positive. I'm really pretty excited about that, actually, so... But yeah, family changes things a little bit, you know, with my daughter at home and stuff. She starts school in September, so. But, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, I'm always interested to go out there. I mean, we had to travel to record the new album. We actually, you're in Washington State, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, we actually my new album was, we started recording the album in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, really?
Crossroads. Crossroads Studio. It's part of that big church there.
Okay, you know, I've heard of it. It's so unlikely, I kind of forgot about it. Vancouver is not a place you would think there'd be a, you know, a recording studio, but there again, times have changed. You can put a recording studio in your living room, which is basically what I have.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started recording it there. We spent 8 days, myself and Mark, my guitar player. We spent 8 days doing, we did drums and bass guitar first, and then we tracked a lot of my lead vocals and a lot of my rhythm guitar parts, some of Mark's stuff for guitar. Then we came back and we did some more stuff. We did overdubs at Mark's studio in Cornwall, and then we sent ideas back and forth to Ron Nevison, my producer, who produced this record and the last one. And that's how we finished it. We sent ideas back and forth and finalized things up, and then we sent it to him to mix, and was all mixed in late January, I guess, and mastered in February, and been pushing it since then.
How did you hook up with Ron?
Well, that's kind of cool, because I guess it would be, well, at least 8 or 10 years ago now, I was just sending ideas to him through some of the digital platforms you have, like Sonic Bids and Music X-Ray, sending ideas to him. He was on there, you know, looking for artists at certain times, and I would send songs and ideas, and he always got back to me right away and said, I really like your stuff, I like your vocals, you know. And then I finally just sent him an email one day after he'd heard some stuff, and I said, well, you want to work together? And he had relocated from Los Angeles to San Francisco at the time, and so when he got back to me, he's like, yeah, that'd be really cool, let's set something up. And so we decided to do the 2014 Share a Little Time EP, and we did that in between Hollywood and San Francisco, two different studios we used for that. So it was really cool to kind of take a vacation / recording project at the same time to Los Angeles.
That's great. Who are some of the people that Ron's produced?
Oh my goodness, some of the big names like Heart, Bad Company, worked with The Who, Led Zeppelin, Kiss, Ozzy Osbourne, all kinds of people, Night Ranger.
Oh, so he couldn't get anybody
good. Damn Yankees.
Damn Yankees. Okay, that's kind of a tie-in with Styx there.
Yeah. Well, those guys are big influences on me. Tommy Shaw, for
yeah.
sure. Backblades.
Yeah. I can't really say you sound like anyone, because that's typically what everybody does. But, I hear a touch of that.
And, yeah, I get that from time to time, for sure.
I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
I wish you the best. I'm thinking that you're going to do very, very well beyond your expectations.
Well, we just keep plugging away.
That's the best you can do.
That's right. But yeah, well, hopefully maybe we'll get a chance to talk again sometime.
Corey, can I ask you this? What's the M stand for in your name?
Ah, yes. You're the second one lately that's asked me that. That's my dad's initial. His name was Mervin.
Oh, okay.
So I keep the M in my name, and I like to sort of honor him in that way, too. And I used to go by my full name on my first record, actually. It was Corey Mervin Coons when it came out in 04, but I've just since shortened it back to just the middle initial.
Corey M. Coons. Thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, well, take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.